Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Well, welcome everyone back to another episode on New Cyber Frontier. I am Sean Murray, one of the presenters for our show today. And today we have Peter Yausch. Peter Yausch is a director at the IAPP, and we'd like to welcome him to the show. He's going to tell us what IAPP is, and the focus is going to be on privacy. Welcome, Peter. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks so much, Sean. It's great to be here. Really appreciate it. So I guess a little bit about my background, is that?
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit of you know, who you are and what your background is? Give us some history.
That's great. So again, my name is Peter Yausch. I'm the Director of Business Development here at the IAPP. And the IAPP stands for International Association of Privacy Professionals. So we're a not-for-profit headquartered in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, but we are a global association. So I have been with the IAPP for nearly 2 years. I began my career in the banking world with Germany's Commerzbank. I was involved with foreign exchange trading, which certainly in that discipline you come across a lot of personal identifiable information. After Commerzbank, I received my graduate degree from the Fletcher School at Tufts University, a degree in international relations. And then I got into the field of responsible investment with a company called Glass Lewis. And in that field, there are a lot of large institutional investors that over time began to see privacy as a potential risk for certain companies, namely the large tech companies. And we've seen that manifested in Facebook, Cambridge Analytica, Google with fines in Europe related to GDPR. So the way I came into privacy then is through that experience in responsible investing, which led me to the IAPP, which is where I am now, working in the field of developing new business for the IAPP.
Well, and so what's the overall mission of the IAPP? If I was to look at this, it's a non-for-profit organization. What is it the IAPP does? And it's a membership-based organization, it sounds like.
Sure, yes. So the IAPP, that's right. We're a not-for-profit, and we have a pretty well-defined mission in that regard. So the mission is to define, promote, and improve the privacy profession. We've done that over our nearly 20 years of existence. We'll turn 20 next year, where we've been able to support individuals that are involved with privacy, whether it's in government, academia, or not-for-profit organizations, and most primarily for-profit companies, private enterprise that happens to have dealings with individuals' personal data. So the IAPP, we have, as the purview of the profile of privacy has grown so much in the last several years, we've doubled in size to the point where we're now over 50,000 members. We're 53,000 members strong.
Wow.
Around the world.
That's great. That's crazy. So I'd like to take a break right now for our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack.
Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to the New Cyber Frontier. Our guest today is Peter Yauch from IAPP, and we're talking about privacy. And Peter is a director at the IAPP, and it's a 50,000 member strong nonprofit organization that's got global reaches. You know, and it's significant when we talk about privacy. When we talk about privacy today, it's a significant topic. And so with all the methods there are to collect information and data on people, it seems like there's more of a need or a desire to protect citizens' privacy than ever before. So what are your thoughts on that, Peter?
Yeah, it's a great question, Sean, and I think that gets to the heart of why the IAPP exists. And you look at why does an organization want to protect privacy? Why does a Google, of course, we'll use the largest as a organization that is concerned with privacy? There are four primary reasons, and it's because organizations want to be able to foster trust. Think of Apple's current ad campaign where they highlight privacy, and if you have an iPhone and have seen the new iOS, that prompts an owner of an iPhone with certain privacy enhancing features of that operating system. And secondly, an organization needs to comply with laws and regulations. The IAPP is really seen as the go-to source for, hey, what does the GDPR, how does that impact me? What does potential legislation in Colorado have to do with me as an organization or as an employee of that organization? And then thirdly, it's protecting privacy is seen as necessary to protect the company's brand. And I'll go back to the first point about fostering trust. Fostering trust and protecting brand, it's seen as increasingly important these days. And then I believe the last reason why an organization is concerned about privacy and dealing with privacy is that it's really the right and ethical thing to do. I think we all can relate to this as human beings, not just in our professional lives. We know that personally, we value privacy, and everybody out there knows why privacy is important to them. So I think that's what the IAPP, our mission again, to define, promote, and improve the privacy profession is really there to support those individuals that are really looking to support privacy within an organization. And I could get into a little bit more about what the IAPP does if that's helpful.
You know, one of the things that we look at, you mentioned IAPP being a go-to source for the regulatory compliance piece, especially when you've got that many members, and we talk about processing, storing, computing globally. So we've got in Europe, we've got GDPR. One of the biggest challenges here in the United States is we don't have an overarching federal regulatory compliance law for privacy. So we've got all of the states that are in the United States that are developing their own privacy laws, and you know they have the same flavor, but they don't all they're not all written the same. Can you explain that a little bit? How complex is that for IAPP to muddle through?
So it is complex, and that's what's really driving people to the IAPP, because they might Google, is there going to be federal privacy legislation? And we're going to be one of those first hits when someone mounts such a query through online. So it is incredibly complex. That's why the IAPP, that's why the 53,000 members rely on us to be able to navigate that. So for example, we just published a report on a white paper on what are the top operational impacts to me as an organization from the California Consumer Privacy Act. We're going to look at, if you had asked us at the beginning of the year, our federal privacy barometer would have said there's probably a 30% chance of federal privacy legislation taking force this year to preempt California. That was what industry had wanted. It seemed like we had a pretty good shot at moving in that direction. Yet as the year progressed and other things happened to take hold in Washington, the odds of that happening have, as here we sit in late November now, the odds of that happening now are slim to none, I would say.
Yeah, there appears to be a lot of disruption in our government right now anyway, and we're looming for another shutdown. So, we just continue to advocate for our citizens, for our businesses, right?
That's right. And I think businesses are accustomed to, hey, New Hampshire, where I sit right now, has no sales tax. Maine has a high sales tax. So as a business, you're accustomed to each state having a different approach, different legislation with respect to certain aspects, and privacy being the latest example thereof. So I think companies, while they have a lot to understand, I think California really does set the bar with applying many of the principles that we've seen in GDPR with some variants, and that's where we can come in. And that white paper that I referenced is a really great resource for a company that's trying to understand, hey, does this apply to me? And if so, then what are the implications? It's a great resource to be able to begin to tackle that. And I think, every state has a different, most states have breach laws that are on the books and with different notifications that go hand in hand with that. And so we'll apply the same type of approach with the states as the privacy regimes are rolled out. And ultimately, hey, we will get to federal legislation, but I'm not even going to take a stab at when that might be. First things first, California, the CCPA takes effect January of next year. So that's got everyone's attention right now.
Yeah, it's here's the unique thing about the California legislation. It's not just a state law in the United States. They've actually passed it as an international requirement. So it is listed on the international privacy legislation for World Trade Organization. So that's what makes that one even more significant. So if you're outside of our country and you're processing, transmitting, storing on a California citizen, and that's your target, then you have to comply with that law, which makes it that much more significant. So we're speaking with Peter Yauch from IAPP. This is Sean Murray on the New Cyber Frontier. We're going to take a short break for our sponsor, and we'll be right back. Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit murraysecurityservices.com for more information. Welcome back to the Newburgh Cyber Frontier. I am Sean Murray. Our guest today is Peter Yauch from IAPP. We've been having a great conversation regarding privacy legislation. One of the things that you started to talk about, Peter, was some of the benefits, additional benefits of being an IAPP member. Can you go into some of those details?
Absolutely, and I think a lot of the listeners to the new Cyber Frontier are probably most familiar with cybersecurity certifications. I think the IAPP, you could look at us as as analogous to, let's say, an ISC squared or ISACA, in that we provide a certification in privacy. So individuals will come to us and say, hey, I've been tasked with privacy. What's the best way to show my employer or potential employers that I get privacy? And that's where the IAPP, one of the resources that we provide is that certification in privacy. So we have a what we call a CIPP, Certified Information Privacy Professional, that deals with the laws of privacy. So Sean, you mentioned the potential extraterritoriality of California's act, that it can apply to individuals or organizations that aren't necessarily based in California. Same goes with the GDPR, Europe's privacy legislation. So individuals can come to the IAPP and get certified in as a Certified Information Privacy Professional, or CIPP, with and focus on European law, US law, Asia law, or Canadian law. Then the other certification is the what we call the CIPM, or Certified Information Privacy Manager. So that has to do more with, I've been tasked with setting up a privacy program within my organization. How do I structure that? What are the basic frameworks? And what have other organizations done to make a privacy program most effective? And then the third leg of that stool is the what we call the CIPT, or Certified Information Privacy Technologist. So a lot of security pros would probably be interested in that, as it really gets into concepts like privacy by design. How do I bake privacy into my technological processes? So from an IT perspective, how do we actually implement privacy in an organization? And those concepts like privacy by design are actually part of the GDPR and other privacy law regimes that are out there. So that's IAPP from a certification standpoint. That's a big reason for, so of our 53,000 members, we have 25,000 plus certificate holders. So it's really, as I mentioned before, something that an individual can say, hey, I'm certified by the IAPP. This is a ANSI-accredited certification. The IAPP is accredited by ANSI and by ISO. So this certification is a global in reach. So an IAPP certification is valued as much in, let's say, Korea as it would be in the U.S. or in Europe.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, as a privacy professional, that would set the bar against others in my industry. It sounds like you're a collaborative organization. You do professional certifications, collaboration. Any other resources for members? Do you blogs, webinars? Do you do a conference? What other relationships do you have out there with other organizations?
Absolutely. So membership is the glue that holds the association together, of course. So to do that, individuals and companies come and join the IAPP. So not only to take advantage of certification, but to network and be able to tap into what are my peers doing with respect to privacy? So it's a nascent field, effectively. So we have all of these privacy laws that are coming onto the books, not just in the U.S., but globally. Brazil, I think of India, for example, huge markets. So we want to be able to network with our fellow practitioners and find out how are they doing privacy. So that we do through virtually, through the member network, through IAPP conferences. Right now, for example, we're hosting a conference in Brussels, our Data Protection Congress. That's been sold out with a waiting list of 300. We wish we could accommodate more, but it goes to show you just how on the mind privacy is today, that individuals need to be able to go and speak with each other in person in Brussels right now and learn more about privacy, hear from the regulators. Since the IAPP is not for profit, we're also non-advocacy, and I think that's important to stress, that we're not saying privacy should be done in a certain fashion. It's not that way. That is not part of our mission to actually say how privacy should be done. We're a big tent, as our CEO Trevor Hughes describes us, and that involves, Sean, you mentioned, what other organizations do we work with? And in my role as business development, one that we have come to work with most closely this year is ISSA. And so the ISSA being involved in security, and Sean, you are most familiar with that, is a association that we have a special arrangement with, where all ISSA members are eligible for getting a free year of membership, a 1 year free membership offer with the IAPP, so that they can, as a security pro, learn, okay, I need to learn about privacy. The IAPP is the place to do that. I can learn and obtain the resources, whether it's certification, networking with peers who have been in the privacy community for some time, and I can download white papers, really access all of the information with regards to certain privacy topics, whether it's data protection impact assessments, privacy by design, privacy engineering, you name it, the IAPP. We have over 30,000 articles and pieces of information on our website that members get to access. So it's a real resource in that regard.
Yeah, it is. It really is a significant relationship this year. For those that don't know, the newly elected COO for ISSA International. So I'm on the International Board of Directors, and you know, Peter and I met earlier this year at one of our events where we actually invited IAPP to our CISO forum, and we got a better understanding of the value of that relationship. And I can tell you that within my chapter here in Colorado Springs, I know a lot of people have taken advantage of that relationship and gained access to those IAPP resources. The advantage here, if you think about it, from a cyber perspective, 80% of any organization in any industry, their business processes are automated. So if my business processes are primarily automated and I process, transmit, or store PII in any fashion or form, whether it's EPHI with healthcare information or privacy information associated with my clients, or even human resource information, there's a duty to effectively protect that information, that privacy. What I really liked is one of the certifications that you described for the technologist provides an ability to design security in to those business processes to better understand where the risk is in managing privacy information, and that's one of those additional benefits in this relationship.
No doubt, and I think also from a privacy technology standpoint, one of the things that really comes to mind when I have conversations with people from the security field is that the field of privacy technology has just ballooned. We publish a privacy technology report, and it goes over who are the vendors that offer technology services in privacy with respect to privacy. We've been doing this for about 3 years. Our first report had 25 different privacy tech vendors. That's grown to over 250 now. So you can see that privacy in the IAPP's early days, when there were two corporate members and just a handful of individuals who started the IAPP back in 2000, it was really just in the purview of the legal department under the GC's office. Well, now privacy is, as it's growing up and maturing, and there are actual laws with teeth regarding privacy and violations of the ordinances, that privacy now requires technological solutions. So we've seen actually the first unicorn in privacy with $1 billion-plus valuation, a company called OneTrust. That's very familiar to privacy practitioners, and increasingly so to those in the security world, as privacy and security have become more and more intertwined.
You know, it's been great talking with you, Peter. Our guest today has been Peter Yauch from IAPP. You know, this is a topic we could talk about all day. We appreciate the time you've been able to spend with us today and share about IAP, the organization, a little bit about your background. We would like to close things up by thanking you. Any last thoughts for our members out there?
Yeah, I think that privacy, it's not just something that the legal department needs to worry about. Privacy and security, they are, as I said, increasingly intertwined. The IAPP is a great way for security pros to learn more about the implications of privacy for security for the enterprise. And we would just invite you to go to our site, and feel free to reach out to me via LinkedIn or through the IAPP site. I think we've, as a not-for-profit, we really do fulfill that mission, or strive to fulfill that mission of educating the public around privacy topics. So thanks a lot for this, Sean. It's been great.
Well, thank you again, Peter. That is it for this edition of the New Cyber Frontier. We've had Peter Yauch from IAPP. Have a great day. Thanks again, Peter.
Thank you, Sean.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate, as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.